Here, what are you trying to do?
I'm calling.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to be back. I haven't been back for a while. I'll let everybody get settled here. And I got Bible. That's good to have my sister with me tonight today. Thank God for her. We're praying the Lord will give her a miracle while she's here. I was praying this morning that the Lord will loose, as the Bible says, loose your tongue so you would be able to speak like you normally do. And I expect God to give you a miracle. I want God to give you a miracle. Do you want God to give you a miracle? Yes, I want God to give you a miracle. Thank God for. As I'm getting settled, and so I can turn my mic here because I've got so much going on.
Would you like to just share my screen?
You might have to, yeah. We're going to look this morning in Ephesians, the first chapter, for a few minutes, and we're going to look in Romans and Ephesians. We probably won't go any further than the two. I want everybody to know, especially everybody who's up. I saw Faith up earlier, and she's not there now. I don't know why that's staying on the screen. People that dropped off. Anyway. She's not there now, but I wanted everybody to know. And for Pastor Jenkins, Elder Rogers, I pray the Lord will bless you, and you'll be doing better before the day's over.
Amen.
But I want to give a message to everyone. Next Sunday, I'll be in Mobile, and we're gonna zoom from not Mobile, but from Montgomery, because Crystal Russell gets married next Sunday, and we're not gonna do their wedding. So I'll be in Montgomery next Sunday, and we will zoom from Mobile. From Montgomery, and you can pick us up on Zoom. But then when I come back after next Sunday, as the Lord gonna have it, when I come back after next Sunday, we'll resume. Probably the last Sunday we will openly Zoom, and from then on we will only Zoom to the people who just can't get here. Let me say this to all of us, especially me. It has to come a time at some point in time when all of us, and something I realize is, God is not the one who's desperate, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
God has no needs. He's not sick. He's not poor. He's immortal. He's not dying. There's no enemy that can fear. There's nothing that can come against him. He just loves us because we belong to him. Just like, you know, like God is our father, and I always compare it to parents. Me and Paul are old. We got on, by the grace of God, we have our own house. It's paid for. We have our own cars. One of them's paid for, at least. We're doing well. We get to the stage in life, and I'm not bragging. But, you know, it's our children who are still buying houses and doing those things. They still have those things to go. Antoine still has a mortgage. Sean has a mortgage and so forth and so on. God is very much the same, but in 10 times at least, thousands of ways, even more so. God has no need for us. We exist because of the good pleasure of his will, because he wants us to. He wants us to. We, on the other hand, are desperate for God because we can't breathe without him. We can't live without him. And we surely can't have eternal life without him. God isn't worried about going to hell. He made it. We are. So I encourage everyone, get your mind in God. Stop letting it be, and I say this, I'm desperate because I'm on fire. We got a long ways to go on. We crank up. Sean just said the scripture came to her. Behold, I make all things new. I want everybody to make everything new.
Amen.
Because stop, we have to, it's like this. Who in here, for example, who in here only has the amount of water in your house that you get when it rains? No one. Because we have to draw water. The city draws water. because we don't get enough rainwater to sustain. It draws water. The infrastructure makes that happen so that you have water in your house. You don't just, it doesn't just come to you like manna. We need to stop treating God like he's somebody who just, I'll have what flows to me. You know, I don't have as much God as comes to me. When I bump into God, I'll have it. When I run across God, I'll have it. On a bad day, I'll call and say, Lord, help me. When I'm going through, I'll say, oh Lord. Someone will say, are you going to heaven? I expect you. Are you going to heaven? I plan to. Are you going to heaven? Well, if anybody else is going. And so forth and so on. But you know, hell is real.
Yes, it is.
And the things that we have in life, no one in here, as Peter writes in one place, and this morning I'm really desperate because people really need God.
Yes, we do.
And you don't act like you need God. We act like we need what God has, but we don't have to have God.
Yes, we do.
And no one in here wants somebody to use them for just what they can get out of you. We call that being played. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really love you, he just wants what he can get. She doesn't really love you, she just wants what she can get. Nobody likes that. Then why do we try and play God? Oh, Lord, I need. Lord, I need. And then when you don't get it, you don't get married with God. And I thought God was going to help me. Well, look like he ain't. I used to say all the time when I used to preach, Sister Cam, you've been around here long enough, you've heard me preach it. We cannot go out. We can slam the door on our mother and father, get married with them, but we can't slam the door on God. You cannot just say to God, hey, well, look, later. You can't do that. Because God has us. We don't have the good, we don't have the reality of God as you turn to Ephesians, the first chapter today. We don't have the reality of God that we should have. We just look up, well now, I got a shopping list for God. I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this, I just got a honey-do list and I just need God to, you know, I just need all that. Well, what about what God needs? What about what God wants? What about what God has to say? It's probably to me. What about what God needs? What about what God wants? Who is concerned with how God feels about us? But even more so, it's the desperation that we need to have. Every one of us in here, everybody on, I saw Faith on earlier. And I wish you had stayed on, you know, and people say, well, I can't be on because I have to work on Sunday or whatever. Well, now, you know, it's time. You've been around long enough to know by now. If you don't want to work on Sunday, ask God.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
If you don't want to work on Sunday, ask God. Is that true, Sister Campbell? That is true. Because you used to work on, thank you. Is that true, Elder Smith?
Absolutely.
Because you used to work on,
Sunday.
Yes. Ask God. Chandra? Yes, if you want to be available for God when God's time comes, ask God. But it's convenient to have something that pops up when you need to, so that you don't have to have any more God than you can. But you want God to be your all in all. Now, the next time you bring your list to God of all the things you want God to do, I want God to give you his list of what he wants you to do. Don't you think that's fair? Yes, it is. The next time you come to God and you have this, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, you know, it's like sometimes people in God, you're like a man who has a chick on his side. You know, and God is there sometimes, but when God, you know, you go someplace else. We are desperate for God. Am I the only one here who's desperate for God? I need God to touch my sister right now. I need the Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost. Keisha's soul needs God to give her a miracle. T'Angela Rogers needs God to give her a miracle. Ella Triani Thompson needs God to give her. People who need God to give them miracles desperately. My sister Sandra will be here next week. She's been crippled from strokes for now about 10 years or whatever, however many years. I can't remember how many. She needs a miracle. It is a burden, not one that people hate, but you know, you have to, you know, to get her around her and within herself. I'm sure she'd rather walk than not. And we treat God so casually. We who do walk, we who do have all our skills, we treat God like he owed it to me. You could not be walking tomorrow. Nobody I know who's a stroke victim planned on being a stroke victim. And I don't know anybody in my family who's a stroke victim who wasn't healthy when they had a stroke. They were not laying in bed someplace when they had a stroke. They were healthy. And I need God to really move and get them back to health. And it's God, depending on those. No one in here, no one out there who walks the earth, no one in the church of living God, Church of God Christ, anybody else, not one human being can heal any one of them. It has to be God. God, he and he alone. Do you see how desperate we are?
Yes.
And we walk around so arrogantly with our heart beating, giving God our list. We're worse than a five-year-old who around Christmas time gives mom and dad the list like mom and dad got to really feel it. And get mad if they don't get it. I don't blame them. I've been five myself. And we try so hard to do it. And yet we treat God like he's just, oh, okay, God, here I come. When I come, I'm bringing all this. But you know what's so great about God? To call you, you in Ephesians chapter 1 yet? God will do it for you if you'll give yourself to God. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like, you know, it's time to fill a promise again with people who love the Lord. And go on in God so we can have a full service and go forward in God. And get back to worshiping God.
Yes.
We can get so involved in trying to placate people, we'll forget about satisfying God and doing what we need to do in God. In Ephesians, the first chapter, Romans 8 chapter, probably the only chapter I get today. God has given us everything by his Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. And I was praying this morning, I was looking at children this morning as we were singing. I was saying, Lord, move by your Spirit. The children need the Holy Ghost. They need the Lord to move by his Spirit. Ephesians 1, and then Sean, there's another one I'm going to do, Romans 8. And I'll see if I go and place other than that. Blessed be the God and Father. And I like it. Yeah, good. I'm glad you have the parallel now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Or all praises to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. I like that. Because we are united with Christ. All of our blessings come from God because of Jesus Christ, not because of me. I know sometimes, you know, preachers have a tendency, people have a tendency, they kind of bleed in on God. So what do you mean, bleed in on God? God does the healing, but they like to hear their name in conjunction to it. I thank God for Reverend so-and-so. And that's okay. But we have to be careful how we do that. Because really, Reverend so-and-so, other than praying for you and having the Spirit, which God has given him, and that's a good thing, but he did nothing as far as the power of actually healing you. He had to depend on God. And it's okay to mention his name because he's faithful and God moved on his behalf. But we have to make sure power belongs to God. And you need to know power belongs to God because you need to know the Spirit moves because of God. Because Reverend so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so might not be around when you need God. And you need to know that it isn't any of his doing. It is God who's doing it. If you're saved today, God did. If you're saved today, if you're playing a game with God, that's your problem. Because God's available to save you. If you have a knockoff salvation, you know, like being saved, but not really saved. In other words, the Holy Ghost doesn't dwell in you. Like, you know, in order for the Lord to save you, the Holy Ghost has to come. He can't just be what you know. He has to dwell in you. He's the one who carries you back to Calvary. He's the one who makes you a partaker of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It's there for us to be saved. But the Holy Ghost is the person who imparts it to you. And there's no such thing as a near salvation. You either have it or you don't. It's like being pregnant. Either you are or you're not. There's no kind of being. And it's the same thing in God.
Either you're saved or you're not. And if you are, then start treating God like he's someone who saved you and not someone who's working for you. Have at least return to him some of the grace and mercy that he's given you. And he only asks for you to do something: worship. It's your worship. It's your praise. It's, and well deserved on his part, since he's the one who saved you when you were not saved, and has a greater, there's even a greater salvation coming when you are changed from this sickly, weak, aging, pathetic body, the Bible calls it a vile body, to an immortal one. Romans 8 chapter 9. And this is where we, I look at people halfway come to church, people halfway come on Zoom, want to be out on their boat every weekend. You know what? You're going to be on your boat when Jesus comes. Yes, you are. Tell them I said so. If you won't come to God when God needs you, you will be where you are when Jesus comes. Want to be, tell every woman I'm talking about today because I'm fired up. Got one who has a lawn service. He can't come to church because he's out doing lawns. You're going to be out doing lawns when Jesus comes. I had a good friend. His name was Cicero Batty, Elder Batty, which is a good brother in God. Went to heaven. No doubt about it. They're as holy as they come. He's out, and he's 10 years younger than me. Out mowing his lawn, had a heart attack. No one expected it. So what was the bad thing is he had a heart attack. The good thing is he went to heaven. Yes. And so what else is good about it? He didn't suffer. When these long lingering whatever's done in heaven. Before he could even regret having it, he's done. That must be nice. Everybody should want, if you're not going to be caught up with Jesus, then you ought to want to go like that. All the reasons why people can't get back into the house of God, can't get back into the swing of God. Just we in all church, it's not just this church; it's all over. We're saying, what's with people? Everybody has decided, hey, we don't really have to. We live so well till you forget how desperate you are to have God. You forget how much you really need God, how much you have to have God if you're going to the changes that God has made in your life. And God has given us all those bad spirits. Then we have a lot of people who have come to God because they've enjoyed, the word that was given. They like it. Because some people love to hear good speakers and good preachers, and I do a pretty good job of that. But the point of it is that you have to check yourself and see, now, do I have the Holy Ghost or not? Do I have the Spirit or not? Because without him, then there is no new birth. Do I have the Spirit or not? Or have I just heard about a good deal, like Amazon's getting ready to have a good deal in a product sale, so we can all show up and see what they sell. Have I just heard of a good deal in Christ? You come to Christ, you can avoid hell, and you can end up in heaven. That sounds like a good deal. Yeah, I'll take it. What do I have to do? Well, pay your tithes and offerings and come to church. I do that. No, at some point in time, you have to say to the Lord, I really need you to come in. And I need you to make me yours. And like the song, you ever hear the song on the core? I give myself away so God can use me. Is that the way it goes? Something like that. Is that close? At first, I didn't like the song. Then Sean just said, well, you know what? When you really listen to it, you're going to but you know what else is pretty nice song? You need to give yourself away. You need to give yourself to God. Stop trying to fleece God for everything you can get out of him. Because you can have everything you ask. God doesn't mind. God will bless you with health. God will bless you with wealth. God will bless you with eternal life. That's what he wants to do. He don't mind. But if all you want is the candy, all you want is what you can get and not the person you want, the gift, and not the giver. I need the gifts. I need what he's got, what he's given me. But Well, do you, what, now, how close do you want to draw to God?
Man, I don't know about that.
But you need to draw close to God.
Man, I'm trying.
Try harder. Try harder. Tell God more. Lord, I need you. The master says, you know what? As people go who are not in my family, other than, you know, outside of my family, you and Zakoa and Aaron, y'all are the closest teenagers we know. Are you aware of that? I pray for y'all every day. That's the time when you mention your mama's name, and I mention y'all's.
It ain't about that. It's because y'all have so far to go. If Jesus doesn't come, you have so far to go. God, you know, the devil has to run me down in the next 20 years, I'm out of here. Hopefully I'll live 20 more years. But God, the message, you know, you got 75 years just to be 90. You're going to need the Lord for a very long time. Do you know how many hazards there are in God in 75 years? That's longer than I've even lived. And you're going to really need God. The best thing that could happen is Jesus would come back sooner and you would be ready and go back with him, and then you'd be spared all that. You know, like I didn't grow up in a time when people shoot people down in grocery stores.
Nope.
I'm sorry, but people didn't shoot kids in school when I was growing up. Kids didn't bring guns to school. Well, even in Philly, you know, they had gangs in West Philly. West Philadelphia High School had gangs all over, but I bet you out of every gang in the school, I doubt a single one of them had a gun. A knife. Their weapon was numbers. Their weapon was numbers. We used to call them being thick. Their weapon was, there was a lot of them. The more of them. Their strength was in numbers, not in guns. Now, you have one person walk in with AR-15, kill 19 people, think nothing about it. No problem. Show up in school, kill 26 people, no problem. So they made him that. They didn't even know him.
Yep.
And then even when I was in high school, you know, it was one of two things. Either you got caught in the hallway by yourself and they shook you down and took your watch and your lunch money, or you had a personal gripe with somebody. You know, but if you were smart and figured it out, you knew what doors to come out of, because you knew what gang was by which door, which is where they stood to rob people at. And you knew not to wear leather coats to school because they were going to take them. And so forth and so on. But now, you know, as it goes now, they're not after your leather coat.
They're after your life.
They just shoot you because they feel like it. We're out here dancing around with the only person who can protect us and be with us all the time is the Holy Ghost. And we're acting like he's somebody that we don't have time for. Are we losing our minds? Yes. And it is time to do like the old people say, now I can come back to God and get in God. And get in God. Immerse yourself in God. And because you are the only person who can put yourself in God. You can bring whoever you want, but you're the one who has to do that. So he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in all heavenly places, or everything that pertains to heaven, all spiritual places, you know, through by the Spirit, He's given it to us. He's given us, you know, when you ask the Lord to forgive you, the Holy Ghost has to be the one who bestows that upon you. It's because of the blood, but the power that forgives is by the Spirit.
Right.
Romans chapter 8. I wish to God that everybody was saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. And I got to preach so that you feel with the Spirit and not just entertain.
Amen.
It doesn't do any good for you to come here for year after year, day after day, and just listen to the Word and say, well, amen, I enjoyed the Word today, and I allow the Holy Spirit to go deeper. It's got to be... You need to come to a point where you say to yourself, I need to allow the Spirit to really come in and do something in my life. And and you know, and none of us have changed to the point where we still where we don't need the Holy Spirit to do more. We need more. In Ephesians, in Romans, but there's a scripture in Hebrews, and I'll go to that in a minute. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. And I'm going to read it in the New Living Testament because I like the way it sounds. But anyway. But you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You're not in the flesh. You're no longer in the flesh. There's a change that takes place when the Lord saves you, and it's not just a confession that I went to church today and I gave the Lord my life. No, there's a change that takes place. And this is where we have so many people who are in churches for a long time, and they still are doing the same things that they've always done in sin. I'm not the preacher who always preaches, come out the bars, come out the bars, come out the bars, but you need to. And I'll tell you why. Because they're destroying you. God never asks anyone to give up anything except the things that destroy you. And if God says to you, you should not do this or that, it's because if you do this or that, it will do what?
Destroy
you. I'll say it again. In the Word of God, when God, either in word or in spirit, says to you, because, and I say in spirit too, because some things the Lord can tell you to leave alone, they in and of themselves are not a sin. But they can destroy you. For example, money in itself is not a sin, but if you have the wrong mindset about it, if you go steal it, it will destroy you. If you get overwhelmed by it, embezzle it, do those things, it will destroy you. If it gets to a point to you where you love money more than you love God, it will destroy you. And God has to come and say, you're falling too much in love with that. That's going to be your downfall. But at the same time I say that, there are some simple things that God expects us to do. Come out, eat from among them. When God comes in, he looks, and we who are in God look, and this is where church people are judgmental, people that you're judging me. We do look for signs of whether or not you have the Lord or not. Just like if you're a good parent, you're a good parent, Ella Smith?
Yes.
Good parent, Chandra? She frowned at you. Good parent, Bridget? Are you a good parent? Good parent, Sister Judy? Good parent, Sister Campbell? Then you look for signs.
Yep, yep.
If you are a good parent, you look for signs in your children to see what they're doing and how they're doing. You look for signs. You want, if they come in and they talk differently, you say,
where'd
they get that from? Yes, you do. You look at their friends and you say, I don't know about that one. You look at how they dress. You look at how they go. And if you don't step up and look for those signs, and then when you see those signs are leading them, what do you think a report card is all about? Why do you get a report card? It's a sign. How well your child is learning to read, write, count, act, behave, citizenship. It's a sign. And when you get a report card and says that your child during this semester, which is, you know, this semester's been 45 days and we've only had your child in school for 5 of them, you should do something. Or if all the other kids are going home with report cards and your child comes home and says, where's your report card? They didn't give me one. That's a sign. And it's something that you should do something about. Oh, they're just kids. They'll grow up. They'll learn. No. They'll learn something, but they won't learn what they should learn. What you as a parent are there to make sure that they learn. You have a responsibility. And don't get mad with God because he takes his responsibility seriously. So that when you're on your way to hell, God says, there's a sign. They're on their way to hell.
I need to do something about it. Because I'm a good father. I can't just let them go and have no one say to them, hey, you need to turn around. You need to do something different. Because he's a good father. Good parent. Like we're supposed to be. Catch your child doing something they have no business doing. I'm not saying you can run their life. Eventually, if they grow long enough, they're not getting you. You can only influence them while you have them. There's a time when a parent is a parent and the child has no choice. And then there's a time when you get to be 71 like me and your children get to be 51 and 44 when you're a parent and you have their respect because they choose to do it. If my kids walked off and never spoke to me again, there's nothing I can do about it. And God wants you to get to a point where he's your father and he's in your life because you choose to have him in there. But until you choose to have God in your life, I don't care how much words you go, I don't care how many churches you go to, I don't care how you speak, I don't care how you dress, you probably want, until you choose to have God in your life, he will not be in there. And he knows the difference between when you choose to have him in your life and when you say, okay, God, I guess I can't do nothing else. Come on. That doesn't work like that. You have to choose to have God, not just God's blessings. He says to us, and this, go back to my scripture. I need everybody, on Zoom and everybody else. Just we need to have the Spirit. We need to ask God, Lord, give me your Spirit. Yes. And if praying is hard for you, you need more Holy Ghost. There is a difference between worrying about something and grumbling and complaining about something and praying about something. You need more Spirit. If it looks like you're not interested in God, God has become boring. You need more Holy Ghost. Because your mind is becoming darkened concerning the many benefits of God and why you need him. You need to ask God, Lord, I need you to restore the love of God in my heart again by the Holy Ghost. Lord, I need you to fill me again with your Spirit. Lord, I need you to come in. And I need you to refresh me because I've become stagnant. I have become casual. I need you to come in. I need you to restore me because I need to go to heaven. Lord, that's when you say to him, Lord, you really got to do something about me. Because I'm out here floundering on the edge. And I can't give up my eternal life. I must have eternal life. But I need you to come in. I need you to work something in me. I need some help here. My mind's turning the other way except toward you. I need you to come in and do something. Because ultimately, earth, you're just working out problems on earth just to encourage me and keep me alone. But I really do have to go to heaven now. That I must do. I must go to heaven blind, crippled, crazy. When the Holy Ghost comes, I need to be set free. I can't miss the rapture. And if I should die before it comes, you lay down tonight, go to sleep. If you die in the course of your sleep, you don't have another chance to come to say, Lord, forgive me. You end up where you are. He says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, you are controlled by the Spirit. In other words, the person who guides you and who gets you up and tells you to come to the house of God when nobody else does it. Have you considered to call when you get in your own house? Whether you get up in the morning, it's on you. Well, it is. Right now, what happens to you to call if tomorrow morning you decide tomorrow's Monday, school's out, but let's say school's in. And tomorrow's Monday and you're supposed to be at school. What happens if you decide, I just think I'll take the day off. What would happen? Would that be a problem? Why would it be a problem? Huh? That's not why it'd be a problem. Look right to your left. Turn left. Look left. Look left. Would it be a problem? Look left over your left shoulder. If you decide you weren't going to school,
tomorrow, would that be a problem? Why would it be a problem?
Look over your left.
Yeah, right, exactly. Would it be a problem in Damascus? Why would it be a problem?
Look to your left over there.
That would be a problem, wouldn't it? Would it be a problem to them? That'd be a big problem. That'd be a big problem. But there's going to come a time. If God is good and you live long, and I pray you do, there's going to come a time that if you don't get up in the morning in your own house and go, ain't nobody going to, no one there is going to say anything about you. And you're going to have to decide, if I don't get up and go to work, I won't eat. And no one is going to, if you don't go, no one's going to punish you. No one's going to ground you. No one's going to do anything to you, but you will suffer consequences. And it'll be up to you to decide, if I don't get up, what will those consequences be? Because the person sitting to your left will be someplace in Jamaica, fat and happy and enjoying retirement life because all of y'all out the house and she ain't got to spend money on nobody but her and whoever else she'll have in her life. And if you don't go to work, you can call. Mom, I decided I'm not going to work today. She said, are you sick? I said, no, I'm not. I decided I was going. She said, okay. That'll be all you get. That day is coming. Because you have to grow up. It's like that in God. After a while, the Lord says, I have taught you my way. And my spirit dwells in you. And if you don't want to come, I told the graduating class one time, somebody might remember, maybe not. I told the graduating class one time I was in the general center. And I told them, Sister Gamble, I wish I could stand here and say to all of you who graduated that if you don't be in God, your life is going to be miserable, you're going to suffer, you're going to be poor, you're going to end up destitute. I wish I could say that. Then maybe you decide to be in God. But the truth is, you can live fat, dumb, and happy and not have God. Yes, you can. You can keep on not having God forever. You can drink to your 1,003. Not have God. But you will go to hell when you die. That you will do. And that's a whole lot longer you're going to live. You can keep playing around with God all you want. But you will pay the consequences. There is a judgment. So he says, now here, back to my scriptures, I'm doing. Because we got to get fired up in here.
Amen.
You know, I'm trying to keep everybody coming, keep everybody going. But, you know, I can't be responsible for infomercial. You can leave that up. Sometimes when you have a chance, I want you to go to Ezekiel, the 6th chapter, when you have a chance sometime, and read this scripture when he tells the preachers. He says, if the people die in sin, he says, it's your fault. The blood is required of your hands. Have a responsibility. Let me see the way out here. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Does everybody see that? Y'all looking up here with me? You can look up here. You don't have to look your Bible in front of me. On this side of here, New Living Testament, New Living Translation. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Oh, and it says in King James, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Remember now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, it doesn't matter how much you claim to be anything. Unless the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you're not in God.
That's right.
That's the Bible. You know what everybody needs to do? Everybody lift your hands. Say, Lord, I want your Spirit.
Lord, I want your Spirit.
Now tell them, say, Lord,
I must have
your Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes. Go get you some water. You'll be okay. She's choking on the word. Yeah, that's one of our most favorite, one of our most faithful members. We have to keep her going. And remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. 10. And Christ lives within you, even so, though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. In other words, though this mortal body will somehow, if it lives long enough and Christ doesn't come, it's going to die. But your spirit lives because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same spirit living within you. In other words, for me to be changed from mortal to immortal and to have eternal life, I must have the Holy Ghost dwelling in me. He won't come to me. You know how you have people who pray these little prayers when people die for people? There's no need of praying for a dead person. If they have the Holy Ghost when they die, they're already in heaven. And if they don't, they're already in hell. You can do nothing about it. Because the Holy Ghost will not come into someone who's already dead. When he talks about changing us from mortal to immortal, that's because we died with him in there already. We have the Holy Ghost. Those who die in Christ, we died having the Holy Ghost already. You see, the Holy Ghost is someone you have to ask to come in. He doesn't just break his way into your life. And then we can sit back and look at our lives and say, hey, you know, this is what life has dealt me, and this is how life is, thus kind of stuff. Life is what you let it be. God is no respecter of persons. In other words, we are where we are in life because of decisions that we make, both in the earth and in God. So I didn't ask for this in my life. No, you didn't ask for this in your life, but you got on that road. And the Lord would have told you, get off of it. There are many things that happened in my life that I didn't ask to happen, but I got on that road.
Yeah.
And it was on there. And when the Lord said to me, you need to get off this highway, I said, I like it. Until I ran into whatever was there. Then I want to turn around and say, well, I couldn't help it. It just happened. You could have. You had no business being on that road to start with. And the sooner you figure that out and tell God, Lord, I repent for ever having been on that road. I should have never even been on that road. And I need you to forgive me. Then new life begins. I should have never been there to start with. And I thank you for keeping me. Otherwise, you just go on and on and on. Well, life's just dealt me a bad hand. No. Life might have dealt you a bad hand, but God would have picked you up and done something else if you had asked him to. God has all power. Everybody say he has all power.
God has all power.
Don't touch him, Jesus. I know that's like this. I don't even know what it is that does that. Does it to me sometimes. God has all power. Everybody say it.
God has all power.
Yes. Power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. It's not the power of positive thinking. Like the power to heal Bridget. I'm praying you get healed this week. I'm praying that you will. But the power to heal you isn't me. It belongs to God. And I'm asking God to heal you. I'm not even asking God to heal you for your sake. I'm not asking God to deliver Sister Judy's people for her sake. I'm asking him to deliver for his great name's sake.
Yes.
I'm asking God to move because so that you'll know he has power. I'm not asking God to deliver anybody because they need to be delivered. God knew that already. I'm asking God to deliver them so that you'll know that God is God. And they couldn't have deliverance until you ask God, because power belongs to God. You can't be saved and not have God, because God has the saving power. Power belongs to God. And if you will have anything from God, you must receive it by his spirit. I mean, from his son, by his spirit, because of his son. That's the only way God gives you anything. You must have his son and you must have his spirit. Otherwise, if you won't have that from God, that's an easy thing to do. And God says, you don't want me. He put it back up there again, that last one. He says, and I'm almost done. It's long enough.
It's coming.
I know. And Christ is within you, even so through your body that are in heaven. Okay. No, go back up to 9, I think. Nine. Yeah, on both sides.
That's all right. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit. And when it says control here, I want you to understand the word control, too, because when we use the word control, we always think of it like some force is acting on us that we don't have any choice in. You know, or if it's physical control, or if it's mental control, it's like they're manipulating us or doing something else. And the Holy Ghost, you know, I don't want you to see control in either one of those ways. I want you to see control as being led. Come with me. And this, because in God, remember now, you must obey God of your own free will. Your will is one of the things you have to ask God to come into and give over to God. One of the problems why we can't be more in God is because we have too much of our own will. I'm not willing to do that for God. Churches mean well. We mean well so much sometimes that we enable people not to be strong in God. We mean well because we allow people to do this and do that. The churches do, not God. And we say to them, you don't have to have this or that or the other, whatever. You know, we enable them. I'm a firm believer in people paying tithes. But when they don't, some pastors will say, if you don't pay your tithes this month, you need to pay it next month. Well, I don't go there. But maybe I need to, because what enables people to do is not pay them at all. You take advantage, you know, you take advantage of people's generosity and their mindset. We get to a point where we come to churches, and if we don't have, on one hand, here's a pastor who gets up and rebukes the people who don't always come, and then you have a pastor who says, well, you know, they have to come of their own free will, and when they come, you need to be glad to see them, and then people take advantage of that.
Yeah.
But you know what? You're not taking advantage of anything, because you never take advantage of God. You either come or you don't come. You either ask the Lord to save you, or you don't ask Him to save you. You're either led by the Spirit, or you are not. When the Holy Ghost says, don't do this, and you hear it, something told me not to do it. Well, if you're saved, I can tell you what the something is. Now, if you're not saved, I don't know what that is. But if you're saved, I know what's telling you not to do it. The Holy Ghost is. If you're saved, I know who tells you to get up and go worship God. The Holy Ghost does. Until you start drowning it out. And remember, those that do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. If you get nothing else from this morning, and I have one more scripture that's going to be in Hebrews, you can leave that one for a moment, because I know you get that quickly. If you don't remember anything else this morning, I want you to remember Romans 8 and 9, and we'll call it part B or C of the verse. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. That's what new birth is. The Holy Ghost comes and you get a new father. You're born again. It's not just and you can tell the difference. Can't you tell the difference when the Holy Ghost comes in than when you know when He saves you, He saves you. Who wants to give that up? Whoever having the Spirit wants to live without the Spirit. God, we ought to be literally scared to death not to have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Literally. We should be scared to death not to have the Holy Ghost. Well, be like David asked God, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's one of the things he asked God to do in Psalm 51. He said, please don't take your Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Whatever happens, don't take your Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Spirit from me. Maybe I need to put it out quick. Cast me not away from thy presence, and don't take your Holy Ghost. Whatever you do, don't ever let me get to the point where the Spirit leaves me. I might not be able to get Him back. We're saved by grace. So, you know, if you go be backslide, you can always come back. Backsliders are hard to get back. Hard to get them back. Because you had to have something come and get you to leave to start with. Is it up there? Oh, yeah, okay. 11. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. In other words, he says, David says, don't be through with me. Don't throw me away. Don't cast me out like he cast the angels out of heaven. He's, Don't do that. He said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, I need the Holy Ghost. Even when I'm wrong, I need the Holy Ghost so I can get it right.
That's right.
Hebrews chapter 2 and 1. I'm going to pray in a few minutes. We finish this last scripture. And I'm going to pray that everyone in here, you know, if you're saved or unsaved, whatever you are, I'm praying that you'll let the Lord save you all over again. Move in you by His Spirit and invite His Spirit to come in and work the work in you. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. This is not, I'll say this, she's there. Hebrews 2 and 1. So we must listen very careful to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. He says that therefore we ought to give them our earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let it slip. Verse 3. How shall we escape? So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore the great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself? And then delivered to us by those who heard it. How do you think you're going to go to heaven if you don't believe God? How are you going to get out? How are you going to get away from this? And out of all the things we need God to do, need God to heal prison. I need the Lord to stretch forth His hand and touch her with the finger of God and just restore her ability to speak clearly. Give her that back for His great name's sake. Sister Judy needs God to come in and work some things out in her back. She needs God to just work some miracles. Do some great things in you. She wants the greatest blessing of all. You know the great, do you realize you want the greatest blessing of all for them? You know what you want them to do? Be saved. There is no greater miracle than being saved. Until we're changed from more to more. That's your greatest miracle. Say, no, He healed me from being this and that. Mm-mm. There is no miracle that you get from God that's greater than than being born again. That is the only miracle that you get that Jesus had to die and be resurrected in order for you to have. He didn't have to die for you to be saved, I mean, for you to be healed, because you're healed by His stripes. Well, touch Sister Gabriel right now in Jesus' name. Make her whole. In the name of Jesus. By His stripes we're healed. He wasn't dead yet. The only miracle that took His death and His burial and His resurrection for you to have is salvation, is your being born again. That's the greatest miracle of all. It's greater than being restored. It's greater than a job. It's greater than a career. It's greater than being healed. You must have that because you don't have to be healed to go to heaven. You'll be healed when you get there. But you must be born again. Come to church. Everybody needs to come. The church, this building ought not be big enough for everybody to come. But coming in and of itself is not enough. When you come, you need to allow the Lord to work in you. You're not doing God a favor by showing up.
True.
Rightly so. You need to. And you need to glorify God. And God wants you to be here. You know, it's like any parent who loves to see their children. He don't want you to be here. But don't ever think God owes you anything because you came. God has never owed me anything. And I owe Him everything. God's never obligated to me. I'm obligated to Him. But because God is F-A-I-T-H-F-U-L faithful. I spelled it right. God blesses me because He is faithful. He is a kind and compassionate Savior. He said, if I would come out from among Him, He would be my Father. God blesses me for the same reason that parents bless their children, because they belong to them. No other reason. You don't have to teach your kids that Christmas exists. You do it because you love them. Say, so why am I teaching about Christmas? So I can have an excuse to give them something. Who invented giving kids birthday gifts? The kids did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Parents. Who invented giving graduation gifts? The kids did, right?
Parents.
Who invented giving them anything other than food and the shelter?
Parents.
Why do you do it? Because your kids work so hard and they earn it, right? Nope. Because you love them.
It's the only reason. And then what do you expect from them? Respect and love. That's all you ask. You don't ask for your money back. Only thing you ask, you didn't have to look away when I said money back. I wasn't going to ask you for it. Only thing I ask, to call your mom that she wants her money back. Yeah. Woo. Jesus. With interest. You better get a good job. Because, you know, Sister Gamble's already planning. She's already planning to call. Every week she's going to call you up. And the first two words out of her mouth are going to be, I need. And then you know the next word is going to be, remember? Remember when I used to have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to that golf course so you could eat? Remember? Rain, sleet, or shine, and y'all be laying in your warm bed snoring, and I'm out there. Remember? Yeah, it's coming. It is. I'm going to retire. The only thing the parents expect out of you is love and respect. Always good parents. It's the only thing you want. Love and respect. God's the same way. He just wants his honor that's due him and the respect that's due him, that he would be God and no other God. That's what he asks. And that you would obey. This is what he says. How are we going to escape this great salvation if we don't hear the word of God? Okay, I think I need to stop there. Did I give you another one? Okay. I'm encouraging everyone by his spirit. We're born of the spirit. I could have gone to John 3, but I'll stop here. Everybody standing. And I want everybody to say this with me. Aram, I want you to say this. I kind of ignored you today, but that's okay. I know you're there. I need to tell those. Everybody say, Father in the name of Jesus. Father, everybody. Jesus. Father in the name of Jesus. That's your ability. Pastor said, Lord, I want you to come in.
I want you to come in.
I'm waiting on the boys, man. She's putting away all her stuff. Tell him, said, Lord, I need you to come in.
Lord, I need you to come in.
And then what we need to do is, you need to say, Lord, I need you to come in for yourself.
Yes, for me. Make it to him.
For yourself.
Yes.
I already asked you. Sister Judy, raise your hand. So, Lord, I really need you to come in.
Yeah, we do.
And that's not something we ask one time in life and never ask him again. Because you need him all the time. Every time something happens, you need to say, Lord, I need you to come in and help me. I need to come in. And this is not a one time thing. You need to keep reminding yourself, I really need God. And I really need him to come in. I really need him to work things out. Ask him, say, Lord, fill me with your spirit.
Give me your spirit.
Lord, I need the Holy Ghost. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord. Say, Lord, I need the Holy Ghost.
Lord, I need the Holy Ghost.
Tell him, yeah, lift your hand up. Lord, I need the Holy Ghost.
Lord, I need the Holy Ghost.
I need you to come in.
I need you to come in.
And work it. Ain't no little girls in here. You'll be fine. Tell us, Lord, I really need you to come in.
Lord, I really need you to come in.
I need your spirit.
Look
towards heaven. Tell us, Lord, I need your spirit.
Lord, I need your spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Tell him, say, I believe Jesus is your son.
I believe Jesus is your son.
And by the blood that he shed, forgive me.
Forgive me. Wash me, Lord.
Forgive me for ignoring you. Forgive me for thinking I can use you.
Help, Lord.
Ask
him,
say,
now,
Lord, save me.
Save me.
And fill me with your Holy Spirit. I really need your spirit. We just can't say that enough. Come in, Lord. Come in, Lord. Come in, Lord. Come in.
Come in, Lord.
Be adamant about it. Come in.
Come in, Lord.
I need to come in.
Come in, Holy Ghost.
Come in.
Yes.
Afternoon, you know, fill me with your spirit in Jesus' name.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you bless my sister in the name of Jesus, that she would be loosed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give her her speech back. Father, do it not for her sake, but for your great name's sake. Lord, I ask you in the name of thy precious son, Jesus Christ, touch her now with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that she would be able to speak and speak clearly in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lord, move by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you break every yoke in Sister Judy's life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Say to the Lord, rebuke. In the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus. Lord, break every yoke in her life, in her son's life, in her daughter's life. Move mightily by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by your Spirit. Lord, move by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Lord, give her that she has asked for, Lord, and even more. Lord, move by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Break every yoke. Drive out every evil and unclean spirit, Lord, in her life, in her family's life. Work things out. Straighten things out. Lord, shake things up. By the power of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless us together. Make a hole in Jesus' name. Make a hole in the name of the Lord Jesus. Touch in the name of Jesus. Lord, work things out, Lord. Move in her life mightily, Lord. Lift her up. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I'm so glad you're here today. Praise the Lord. Next office. Lord bless this day. D'Angelo today, Lord. Say to the Lord, rebuke you. Loose him in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, you loose her from all these diseases and all these things. Lord, set a free country from the crown of my head to the soul of me to make all way whole. In the name of Jesus, Lord, not by my power, not by my might, but Lord, by your Spirit, O God. By the power of God. Lord, move by the miracle working. Power of God. Lord, move by the miracle working. Power of God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, move by the miracle working. Power of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, move us into things life and change things. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, the faith God wants more from you. You want more from God? God wants more from you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give us another job where she can be in the house of God where she's supposed to be. Lord, so that she can worship the Lord. Lord, move on her man and move right swiftly, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, move before she can deny it. You move, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, leave her speechless because she moves so quickly. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless the old Jacob today. In the name of Jesus. Bless the old Mrs. Stedmeyer, Mother Ware. Bless him in Jesus' name. Lord, bless Sister Nancy today. Move in her behalf and Lord, change her situation. Work things out, Lord, by your power, oh God. Lord, by your power. Come in, oh God. Move by the power of God. Move in such a way, Lord, that she cannot deny it is the Lord. Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, for your great name's sake. Lord, bless Promise Church. Lord, I pray that you fill it, Lord, like you said in the Bible. Lord, we won't dig ditches. Lord, you said we'll dig ditches in it. We won't hear the rain and we won't see the wind, but there'll be fear. Lord, move your Promise Church and fill all our ditches. Lord, let the waters flow in this church. Lord, send people to the east and the west and the north and the south. Send people to glorify your name, God. Save them here. Heal them here. Deliver them here. Cast out devils here, oh God. By the power of the name of Jesus, by the power of the Spirit of God. Let every evil spirit be cast down by the power of God. Lord, move mighty by the mighty Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, we give you all the praise. Lord, move by your Spirit. Move in me, O Father. Work will work in me. In Jesus' name. We'll give you all the glory and all the honor and praise. And the people will say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. You may be seated.
Thank God for Philippines Mission. Thank God for all of you. We'll be here Tuesday night and encourage everybody to come out Tuesday night for Bible study. It only lasts about 45 minutes. It's not very long, but please come. If you're able, please come. Faith, we're here Tuesday night for Bible study. If you're not able to come on Sunday, come on Tuesday. And we'll be here on Friday night again. And everybody to come and praise God with us, and so we can break every yoke, drive the devil out. You know, you need the devil out of your life.
Uh-huh.
You need the devil out of your life.